Welcome and God bless. Thank you for joining us on our Victory Outreach Church of Tacoma podcast. On behalf of Pastor Eric and Sister Jessica, we want to thank you for tuning in. For more information on the church and upcoming events, please visit us at votacoma.org.
Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, have your way. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your power. I ask that you would take full control. Speak through my life. I can't do this without you. I pray that every part of this sermon would be relevant and that it would cut deep. That would heal, that it would bring forth life. We need you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, we all say, amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Amen. Well, this morning, I want to welcome you. I'm glad that you're all here. It's good to see my friends and family. I'm excited to minister to you as I was studying. You ever had those moments in your life where you're like, man, I got to make some changes? Are you hearing me? Or have you ever messed up at something and realized, man, I can't mess up like that again? Are you hearing me? Like, I didn't sin or nothing this week, but some of you are like, what did he do? No, but some of you know I went back to work for a season. So I'm working, I'm pastoring, I'm a father, I'm a husband. And I had a little mishap at work. Come on, somebody. You ever been spoken to by your boss? That knot in your stomach. Come on, somebody. I got to make some changes. Amen. And this week I said to myself, you know what? There was a time when I used to get up really early in the morning, like early. I used to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and I used to just make sure that I was awake before the whole family. I would grab my coffee, I'd read my Bible, and then I'd pray. And not that I haven't been doing that, but not like I did once before. And this week I said, you know what, I'm going to make a change. So I started getting up early again, and I started really focusing. So every morning I was able to read my Bible for a little bit. I was able to clear my mind before the kids woke up. Come on, somebody. How many know that if you wake up in the morning and you have coffee before everyone else, it's peaceful. Catch me without a cup of coffee, amen. But God was ministering to my heart, and when I was reading the book of Corinthians, this really stood out. So I want to preach it to you this morning. So for this morning, I want to take a few moments, and I want to talk to you about drawing closer to God. Amen. How many want to draw closer to God? Right? But I also want to talk to you about our personal and congregational responsibility. How many know we got personal responsibilities? And then as a church, we have a congregational responsibility to live separated unto God. So I want to talk to you about living separated unto God. And I want to remind the church of our responsibility, our biblical responsibility. Did you know that you and I, we have a calling on our lives, right? Our first calling is not to something, but to someone, right? My calling, your calling, all of our calling alike, we are called out of the world and into a relationship with God. It's the entire reason why God sent his only begotten Son, that whoever shall believeth in him shall have eternal life. In this season of the world, we're in a unique position where I think God is calling out his people to stand and rise again. I think we're at a place in history where by God's orchestrated, beautiful design, he's positioned us in the middle of crisis so that he could get glory. Are you hearing me? God is awakening those that have been asleep, and God is beginning to push forth his agenda. I want to remind you this morning that you're not called to something, you are called to someone. But did you know that secondly, you're called to the fellowship of the saints? What does that mean? We are called to be connected, right? The Bible says, the Bible talks about how though we are many individuals, we form one body. When you look at the word church, translated, In the Greek, it's a word called ecclesia. Someone say ecclesia. What does that mean? What is the church created for? Well, if you want to do a study on what the church was actually created for and why it exists, just look up the word ecclesia. Because by definition, the Greek word ecclesia means this: called out assembly or congregation. Well, what have we been called out to? What have we been called out for? What are we being called out of? For some of us, come on somebody, we're climbing out a hole. Right? I don't know about you, but I wasn't called. I was pulled out of the muck and the mire. I was pulled out of a dark place in my own mind. I was pulled out of a place of negative thinking and never thinking that I was good enough. I felt like I had to be a certain way. My family didn't believe in me. Come on, somebody. Right? But I was pulled out of a dark place. But what was I called into? Well, 1 Peter 2:9 answers. It says, we are a holy nation, a royal priesthood, and we have been called, someone say called. We have been called out of darkness, the Bible says, and into his marvelous light. We who believe, listen to me, we have been called out of darkness, and we have been called to walk in his marvelous light. When we talk about walking, we're talking about a specific lifestyle. See, the church, the ecclesia, the called out ones, the congregation, we are meant to be the hope and the light of the world. You know that we, the church, we have a very significant purpose. You know that our purpose is both spiritual and eternal. Are you hearing me? Our purpose is both spiritual and eternal. In other words, when we read the Bible, there are certain principles that you will not understand by human thinking. Forgiving somebody that hurt you. Come on, somebody. Right? Turning the other cheek when somebody slaps you. Try Jesus. Please don't try me. Because I throw these hands. I mean, know that song. My favorite part is, I know what the Bible says about getting slapped. But if you mess with me on mine, we're going to have to scrap. Come on, somebody. How many know that Jesus? Jesus said we got to turn the other cheek. Amen. Some of you are like, my brother used to tell me, I'll give you the first two. The Bible says turn one cheek and turn the other. He said, but the Bible didn't say anything about the third. Come on, somebody. Certain principles of the Bible don't make sense. What about tithing? Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. Ooh, it got quiet, boy. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense that by sowing seed, some way, somehow, God has a way of bringing favor and a surplus and an extension of what he has. It doesn't make sense. I don't know how it works, but I know it's the one place in the Bible that it says, test me in this and see. How many know that God is not going to be in debt to any man? Where am I going with this? There are spiritual principles that we live by that require faith if you're going to experience certain powers of God. Are you hearing me? But our purpose as a church is spiritual and eternal because we're not preaching a word that is fickle. We're not preaching a word. We're preaching a word that is so powerful that even if it falls on deaf ears, the world, the earth, will recognize its power and cry out if people don't. See, every morning I've preached to large crowds and I've preached to two people. But see, I was taught I don't preach to the crowd, I preach to man's spirit. I preach the whole word of God, even if it cuts, because what changes a man are not good words, are not emphasized words, it's not jumping. Come on, somebody. It's not an emotional thing. The Word of God is the only thing that can change a man's heart. Are you hearing me this morning? We, the church, are God's agents of redemption and restoration. When you think of an agent, come on, somebody, like spiritually, I see myself like a ninja. Hey, smooth, sly, come on, somebody, but quick. Huh? I truly think that we're called to be agents of change, agents of restoration, and agents of redemption. What does that mean? When I think of someone that's an agent of restoration, it's someone that specializes in making something that is broken and making it whole again. You ever see those water restoration companies? They come in when there's a mess, and some way, somehow, by design and by their training, they're able to make a place look like it was never flooded. I mean, we got to be like that with people's souls. We got to redeem that which is lost. Those that don't think that there's a way, we got to let them know that there is a way, as his name is. Come on, somebody. When we walk in his marvelous light, when we walk in the ways of the Lord, listen to me clearly, we become evidence of God's powerful word over sin and death. This is why living not a certain way, but living out his word, are you hearing me, makes a difference. See, the church is meant to be a visible, intangible manifestation of Jesus Christ. The church is meant to be the hope of redemption on earth today, not tomorrow. And as I was praying and I'm preparing for what God has for the rest of this year and next year, I am preparing to be a visible representation of who God is and what God is able to do. I'm going to live my best life now. I'm not waiting till I'm perfect. You look at the person next to you, you ain't got to be perfect. You just got to be willing. And tell them the key word, you just got to move. Come on, somebody. When we look at the scripture we opened up with, the Apostle Paul is speaking to the Corinthian church, and he's reminding them of their responsibility to live separate unto the Lord. He tells them, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. He tells them, touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be the father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters. What a beautiful promise. That's a promise of God. He said, I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters. What is the figure of a father? What do? They protect. They love unconditionally. They provide, and if need be, they will lay down their life. Are you hearing me? What a beautiful promise. The Bible says that he will be a father to us. See, the phrase come out from among them was a reference that the Apostle Paul was using. He was using a reference from Isaiah 52:11. Where God was speaking to his people, he said, depart, depart, go out from there, touch no unclean thing, go out from the midst of her, purify yourself, you who bear the vessels of the Lord. See, in Isaiah 52, it was a warning to the people of God, because during this time, God had pulled his people out of slavery. Right? He commanded them to depart from that old lifestyle, from the behaviors that they were shown in the land of Egypt. He was calling them to forsake what they have been taught. It was the call to forsake idol living and the idolatrous habits they were exposed to. How many know that we're exposed to some things? Right? Like man, our kids are exposed to some things right now. I can't stand. Like I took Facebook off of my notifications. So I don't even look at it that much anymore. Some people are like, you know, man, I contact you a messenger. Listen, if you contacted me a messenger, I didn't answer. It's not that I don't like you, I just don't check it. Some people are all mad at me. Hear me. But we're exposed to some junk. Like just based off the standard of living in today's society, I mean, the bar is going lower and lower and lower. So here the Apostle Paul, he quotes this passage from Isaiah to the Corinthian church because the Corinthian church was slowly taking on the behaviors of the city. And what we have to understand is that the city of Corinth was the sin city of that day. This city was industrious, it was modern, it was educated, it was successful, and it had become a trade center to the world. But as a result, people from all areas of the world with different backgrounds and different cultures, they begin to plant and grow roots there. But over time, the city began to intermingle with different religions and different philosophies and idols. And eventually that city, it was full of idol worship and it was known for the stronghold of prostitution. And I'm not just talking about there was prostitution in the city. I'm talking about there was literally a temple of Aphrodite, who was a sexist god, and there were 1,000 prostitutes within the temple, so it became a lifestyle for the people, so they were indulged in sexual immorality, and it was okay, and it was no big deal, because it's what makes me feel good. See, the people of God, the people within the church, they had succumbed to loose living. They started dabbling in idol worship, and they no longer had a regard or fear of the Lord. So here the Apostle Paul, he reminds the people with these words that we opened up with. Come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. He says, touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters. See, what the Apostle Paul was doing, he was taking familiar wording and giving it new meaning with fresh context. Just as the Israelites were in exile, and they were called to put off idolatry, Paul was speaking to the church and said, it is time to wake up, and you cannot live like the people that surround you. Are you hearing me? See, the Corinthian believers were to lay aside the idolatry and sexual immorality that they were steeped into by virtue of where they lived. In other words, Paul was calling the people back to holiness. He was calling them to live set apart from sin and the world. Now, when I read this, if people were to ask me, what do you think God is doing? I think God is calling us back to the throne. God is calling us back to a place of repentance. God is calling us back to live set apart. See, I believe this message is relevant because the church today needs to wake up. Just because there was a virus or a pandemic, that didn't change who God was. Right? That didn't change that there was still a mission. It didn't change that God still wanted to go out there and reach people in the highways and the byways. It didn't change the fact that people are dying and that it was our responsibility to be a visible and tangible representation of who God is. How many know that the call has never changed? You and I have been called to live separate unto the Lord. So then he progresses, and this is what he tells the people. He says, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence. Now, there's a lot there. And when you look at that one scripture, it can be broken out in two parts. The first part is this. He tells the people that they have to purify. Someone say purify. What does it mean to be purified? Well, by definition, it's the quality or state of being free from mixture, pollution, or other foreign elements. That's the biblical definition. Heavy, yeah. The quality or state of being free from mixture. How many know you can't mix your philosophy with the Word of God? Well, this is how I feel. This is what's in my heart. The Bible also tells me to don't trust my heart because it's deceitful and wicked above all else. But we got people, it's in my heart. Are you hearing me? So you got to be careful that you don't mix the Word of God with something that is untrue or made up or something that's been formed because you never got healing. There's some people, they've been wounded so deeply that they dive into the ministry, they dive into the doing of the Word, and then what happens is, years down the line, because they never went to the back part of their heart, and they never opened the door and said, God, come in, I know it's going to hurt, I know heart surgery is might put me on the back burner, I know I might have to be on the shelf for a little bit, but I need you to heal me, I need you to take it out, because I don't want to be in bondage any longer. See, I'm at a place, and let me just say this. I think this, for most pastors, I'll speak for myself. When this pandemic hit, I was trying everything. It felt like the church wasn't growing. It felt like I was beating my head. And then God shattered everything. Closed the doors. I had to preach to a camera with no one here. You know how hard it is to preach to an empty room and to a camera? You got to bring energy. And it was there where the Lord exposed, you got too used to the feeling and the encouragement of the people. And it was there where I had to repent. I had to go before the Lord and say, God, forgive me. Because I remember there was a few times I preached to that empty room and to the video, but because I didn't feel the atmosphere, it wasn't as powerful. Was it that God was not present? Or was it that I had developed a false sense of security based off of the room? So what did God do? Shattered religion. Shut the doors. Shook pastors to the core. And we had to go back to the throne room of God. See, we got to purify ourselves from anything we've mixed or polluted the Word of God with. We got to purify ourselves. Purifying ourselves gives the idea of action and self-awareness. You cannot claim that which you do not know is dirty. Last week, my wife, we're walking in, and I took like all my suits to the cleaner except one, right? And I said, I'll take that suit next week. I thought it was clean. But I was walking in, she said, babe, wait, stop. I said, what? She said, man, babe, you're dirty. I said, hold on, I ain't dirty. You're dirty. Just kidding, I didn't say that. Oh, what you mean I'm dirty? Giving me complexes before I walk into the church. Right? She tells me I'm dirty. She starts patting me down. No, she didn't do that. She tells me I'm dirty. So I go into the bathroom, and I attempt to clean the small stain. I mean, I got kids. Come on, somebody. I didn't know it was dirty. And had she not said anything, I probably would have never acknowledged it until it was glaring and in my face. This is what I mean by, in order to purify yourself, you got to not only move, but you got to acknowledge. See, I went to the bathroom and I attempted to clean it. But had she not told me, I may not have ever acknowledged that it was dirty. See, the point I'm trying to make is this. Before you can attempt to purify yourself, we have to first acknowledge that there is a stain. There is a stain on my heart. There is a stain or some pollution in my mind. There is a tainted part of my heart. We got to acknowledge that there's a problem before we can have a fix. See, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 2 Corinthians 7:10 says, for godly grief produces repentance that leads to salvation without regret, whereas worldly grief produces death. What does that mean? Know this, that God ultimately purifies your soul. But you got to first make the decision that you want change. God's not going to force you to change. He might put you in some situations, but some of us, boy, we're like, I ain't drinking that water. God's not going to make you. But if you know better, like a loving father, how many know that he disciplines those he loves? See, there's two parts to this scripture because he tells them to purify. So remember, to purify, we have to take action and we got to acknowledge. But then he says, purify from everything that contaminates both body and spirit. Now, what does it mean to contaminate? Well, contaminating by the definition is this: the act of contaminating or making something impure by polluting or poisoning. Contaminating is rendering something harmful or unusable by adding impure substances. You know, if this jar here represents our soul, and this represents clear water, see, I can drink this right now. But if this is my soul, and that's what God intends, every time I willingly, listen to me carefully, every time I willingly sin against what I know is right, what I do, I just add just a little bit of compromise. Just a little bit. It's okay, it's not that much. I'll come on Sunday and I'll pray and I'll even go to the altar. Sin has a way of polluting our minds. Sin has a way of contaminating our soul. And as you see in the jar, it has a way of tainting that which is supposed to be pure. There was a time where Jesus was speaking. And in Mark 7:20, the Bible says he went on. And he said this to his disciples: it's what comes out of a person is what defiles them. For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come: sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and defile a person. Now he says something interesting. He says, be sure to purify everything that contaminates. We already talked about contamination. How many know that we as God's people, we got to do our best to be pure. We got to do our best to show ourselves approved to do the work of the Lord. But it's interesting because he said, don't just purify yourself. He said, purify from anything that contaminates body and spirit. In this case, what was Paul addressing? Specifically to that church, he was specifically addressing sexual immorality because of the idols. But what are other things that can contaminate our body? I would say any substance that alters your thinking. You can call it what you want. You can call it drugs, just a little bit of weed. Huh? I know there's a hot topic. Alcohol. Some people don't like me because I don't drink and I don't believe in drinking. Why? Why? Well, it's not a sin. The Bible doesn't say. Well, the Bible also says that we got to be careful to not be a stumbling block. And I have found that there are some people. See, I come from my family were chronic alcoholics. So I have a different view of what alcohol does. My grandmother died from cirrhosis of the liver. My uncle died from cirrhosis of the liver. My grandfather died from cirrhosis of the liver. When I was growing up, I would hide under my bed because my father would come drunk and he'd hurt me. I still remember underneath, I'm painting this sad picture, but like underneath, right, the bed, and I remember his feet coming in. I remember my parents fighting and us having to call 911 because of alcohol. It was unstable for my family. But we're in a place in the day and age where let's just compromise just a little bit. It's okay. I'm a casual drinker. I don't have any addictions. Well, listen, husband, wife, you be careful. You may not have an addiction, but what about your husband? Because God knows, listen to me, God knows I can't have a drink. I have a drink, I'll blow the roof off this place. Listen to me, we're at a place where we gotta choose and we gotta purify ourselves. Anything that alters our body is not okay. You are the temple of God. This is a borrowed body. What are the things that can contaminate your spirit? Let me just throw out a few. This is a little easier to categorize. What about bitterness? Huh? Anger. Deceit. What is deceit? Intentional lying or manipulating. What about arrogance and pride? Right? Walk around like I'm the bag of chips. Come on, somebody. I am the big bag of chips. Amen. I'm the big grab. Huh? We as God's people, listen to me. You got to be aware of this. We must purify ourselves from everything that contaminates. You got a lot of people serving God. They come to the church every week. They might even serve in leadership. They might even serve somewhere in the church, but their soul is tainted with unforgiveness. Come on, somebody. Somebody say amen or oh my. They are ministering and giving out their water. Now, if I'm in need of healing, the last thing I need is your dirty water. Man, we don't hear preaching like this very often. Some of you are like, oh my God. Some of you are like, give it to me, Pastor. Punch me in the face. Spiritually, you're like, yes, I love it. And then there's others of you, I don't like him right now. You don't have to like me. Just know I want to love you to heaven. You got a lot of people, they're serving. And hear me carefully because there's a fine line. I say you don't have to be perfect. But know this, that when you disciple someone, there's a spiritual transference. If I'm trying to transfer my spirit and everything that I've learned, I can teach you about forgiveness. I can teach you about bitterness. But if I'm unwilling, every time the devil's like, oh yeah, no worries, no worries. He's still bitter. She's still bitter. She hasn't let go. And then we wonder why we have no power. We wonder why we're ministering, we're doing it. We don't feel the anointing. It's not that God is not powerful. It's not that God is not with us. It's that we haven't let go. You know, Jesus took this matter so serious. He rebuked the Pharisees and taught his disciples a lesson in Matthew 23. He said, woe to you teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisees, he said, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside will be clean. See, today you got a lot of people, they look the part. On the outside, all put together. But on the inside, it's going to get better. This is why I always speak about, and you've been hearing me, the whole message. I've been saying it, you got to get healed. Listen, to not forgive, to be bitter in your heart, to be unwilling to let go of past hurts, over time will contaminate your heart, and to be arrogant and not deal with your pride will pollute your thinking and cause you to think higher of yourself than God intended you to. See, the Apostle Paul was calling the people out, and he was reminding them of their responsibility to live separated unto God. So here's the question, and I'll be coming to a close in a few minutes. How do we do this? How do we purify ourselves? Well, Colossians 3, 5, and 6 gives a pretty concise answer. Listen to what it says. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. We're living in a world, everything I just mentioned, the world lives by, and it's okay by them. Not in the house of God.
Is it hard to let these things go? Absolutely. But if we're talking about walking with the Lord and becoming like He is, then we got to die to ourselves. You know, I try to die, man, because without the Lord, I'm a proud guy. Without the Lord, like you ain't winning this argument. And if I'm losing, I'll say, yo mama. I'll start capping. Come on, somebody. We got to put, listen to me, to death whatever belongs to the earthly nature. So how do you do it? You got to put to death your old self. But the Apostle Paul, and I'll be closing with this. The Apostle Paul gave further direction. How do we purify ourselves? How do we purify ourselves from everything that contaminates? You know how? The Bible says by perfecting holiness out of reverence. What is holiness? Do we even talk about holiness anymore? Like, my prayer is that in this church, if you've been here for 6 months, by then you should know what it means to live holy. By definition, holiness, the biblical definition, it's a characteristic unique to God's nature which becomes the goal for human moral character. Holiness needs to be our pursuit. We live in a corrupt and an immoral world. Things are getting bad. And in the midst of immorality, it's the church's responsibility to uphold holiness. Why? Because 1 Peter 1:13 and 16 says this, therefore prepare your mind for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed by the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance, but like the Holy One, here's the key, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. What does it mean to be holy? Well, when God told Israel to be holy in Leviticus chapter 11, 19, He was instructing the people to be distinct from the other nations. He was calling them to live differently. See, you and I, we got to be separated from this world. Sounds great, but how do you do it? Do you know that the Word of God is the only thing that can purify you? The Word of God is the only thing that can take away all of the pain, all of the hurt, all of the filth. Are you hearing me? The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all scripture is inspired by God, and it is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. You see, you got some of us, we're still battling. And we're doing our best to get rid of this water. We get rid of it. But then since we haven't gone to the Word, it stays there. But how do you truly get everything out? See, the only true way to clean a dirty, tainted vessel is by pouring water into it. And like the Word of God, as it flows, as it pours, it's not your responsibility to do it. It's the Word of God. And over time, as you allow the Word of God to move within your life, that which was once tainted, that which was once polluted, that which was once taking you nowhere, is now a vessel that is holy and can be used of the Lord. You don't have to be perfect, but you gotta let the Word of God be living and active in your life. Hebrews 4:12 said, for the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces every division of soul and of spirit and joint and marrow and discerning of the thoughts. John 4:13 and 14, He was speaking to a hurting woman. He says, everyone who drinks this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in my springs of water, welling up to to eternal life. And the woman said, sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty. See, you got to be hungry, not thirsty. You know, in sports, they teach you to get used to drinking water. After you've run, after you're depleted. It's easy to drink soda, but what happens after? It leaves you more thirsty. I mean, it's only the Word of God as you all stand with me this morning. This morning, with every head bowed and every eye closed. Listen, this morning as you hear.